I just felt like the Lord said the theme for today is really healing. The Lord wants us healed. He wants the body healed. He wants our spirit, soul, and body healed. And we just need to have faith that God is more than able to do exceedingly above what we can think or even imagine. You know, that He can do all things. And that our faith would rise up and realize just what a mighty God we serve. He's not impotent. He's not without power, but He is powerful and mighty. And so often we look, thank you, so often we look at our limitations and we think God has the same limitations. Come on, you know, we forget just how powerful our God is. Because our circumstances sometimes swallow up or try to swallow up, you know, what we're going through. But God is, you know, reassuring us today, even as we take communion. Do you remember in the Word it talks about remembering? Remembering. There's a lot of words that were written in the Word that says remember, remember. Why is that? Because we forget, right? We so easily forget. And it's just like God wants to renew our mind and actually train our mind and our soul that God can do all things, that we are not powerless, but we are powerful in Him. And He wants to remind us that it was because of the blood shed, that it's not our ability, but His ability. And when we put our trust in the blood, in the sacrifice, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear anything because it is a done deal, sealed and delivered because of the blood of Jesus. And so often we don't hear about the blood of Jesus. We kind of take for granted about the blood of Jesus, but I think in communion we remember again the sacrifice that He gave. That He gave His only begotten Son, His only Son, so that we could experience healing, we could experience freedom, that we can have joy, that we can have peace. All these things are the great exchange that we have when we come to the cross. And, you know, I don't know if there's anything that you are going through or anything you will ever go through that Jesus didn't already take to the cross. Think about that. He's already done it. We don't have to, you know, please, Lord, do it. He's already done it. It's us coming into the agreement and the participation of what Christ has already done that our faith will arise, and knowing that He's already done it. He's already healed you, Jim. He's already manifested that healing. We just declare that in the name of Jesus. We say, God, you are more than able to do it, that you are our healer. That is our covenant right. And when we pray for Israel, we think about Israel, we think about the covenant that Israel had with the Jewish people, with the Jewish nation. But we, as Pastor Rick was talking, he was talking about we've been grafted in, so we're part of that covenant now. As a Gentile, we are part of that, and we are as the one new man, the Jew and Gentile coming together as one, and we are in the same covenant that God gave to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We are in covenant with God. And when we see that, we can have confidence in the covenant of the blood. It's a blood covenant. Blood was shed for you to come into covenant so that there was a way where there seemed to be no way, that we were outsiders, we were foreigners. But God, in His blood and His grace, He made covenant with us. And you know what's interesting? It didn't depend on us keeping the covenant. Thank God for that, right? Because none of us did. But it's His perfection in the covenant of what He did that we can be assured and that we can have strength. Because you know what? If I had to depend on myself to make it right, there would be no way. It's the covenant that Jesus made with me that I can become strong and I can walk in power and I, you know, can be free. This is what the Lord wants us to be free today. Amen? God wants us to be free today, free from all the lies that the enemy has said that you're separated from God. But you are one in Christ Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. He made you one. He made you one with him. This is the life we live. And if we're one with him, all our circumstances are in him. All of our situations are in him. That we carry no fear, because perfect love casts out all fear, as the scripture says, right? And perfect love, what is perfect love? God's love is a holy love. God is a perfect love. Perfect love is that it will do no wrong. God's love towards you will do no wrong. So often we learn about an angry God, a God that is judgment and wrath, and we've learned a lot of that. And you know what? We haven't seen the really goodness of God because we believed lies about God, and then we believe lies about ourselves because of that, because we're created in his image. And we have to live from that point that we're created in his image. There's nothing in us that he says, I don't like. He said it was good when he made us. He said it was good. And so he's not backtracking on that. He's not changed his mind on that. He gave his son for that. His son Jesus died for that. So that we could be completely restored. That we could be totally put together. And God doesn't want us to be a broken body. And what I mean by that too, I feel the Lord is saying that don't be broken in your spirit, in your soul. Your spirit is perfectly aligned with God. But sometimes we need that renewing of our mind, and our soul needs to get in alignment, where we get out of alignment because either we've believed a lie. A lot of it's believing lies from the enemy. You know what Satan is, a father of lies, right? So we do have a true enemy, but once we believe them, we're not going to participate in the lie. We have to say, no, I take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We need to say, is this God saying this? Do you ever ask yourself when something happens to you and you feel a little like a victim, or you feel that God's not helping you? I mean, these lies, do you ever counter that? Or do you kind of just reel with that and go with that? You know, God has given us power to break the lie. And you know what the power is? It's the truth of God's word. That's why it's important to know God's word and to know what he has said about you, what he has said about himself. He wants you to know that you are in him and he is in you. Come on. There is no separation. You are together. You are one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a reality that we need to really take and live that out and understand that. So I just felt like, even like during worship, God wants to break off the weariness and wants faith to just arise in your heart. Faith not in your situation, but faith in who he is, that he can come in and intervene. He does, too. He is involved in the affairs of our life. He is not a distant God. He is in us. Come on. He's in us. And so we're not doing this alone as we go through life. Sure, we have things, obstacles, things that come in the way, but God is for us. God, in the word it says, for God is for us, not against us, right? And if God is for us, not against us, who can be against us, actually? If God is for us, who can be against us? So we are with God in participation of what God wants to do. And so I just, you know, as we take communion, I want us to think about the oneness that you have with God, that you're not trying to get in with God, that you are in with God already done. Okay? Because it's just like we're not trying to do something. It's already been done. God wants to break the striving off of you. You know, I mean, I just feel like there needs to be some freedom and rejoicing and coming into thankfulness and rejoicing, because that breaks off despair, doesn't it? It's just when we understand the very power of the sacrifice of Jesus, of what Jesus did for us, that we can live in abundance. Come on. He gave us abundance. We don't have to live in lack. Come on. We declare what God says we can have, and, you know, have what God says we can have and do what God says we can do, because we are in Christ. Christ Jesus. Come on. We're not living from an earthly realm. We're living from a heavenly realm. We're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. That's a thought right there that we could really understand. We would see how great that is, that we're sitting in the heavenly places. You know, we have a co-residence. We live here on earth, but we live in heaven too. And so we have that mighty power of God, you know, sitting in the heavenly places, interceding. And Jesus is interceding for you, Dwayne. God is interceding. Jesus is interceding for us. So what do we lack? Come on. I just want you to see, you know, get out of our earthly thinking and get to the heavenly perspective of what God wants to do. And he wants to make you more alive than ever. You know, we don't have to wait for eternal life or when we pass on to get eternal life. We have eternal life right now. Oh my gosh. Help me, Lord, on that. It's just like we have to come into that eternal life, that we have it now. So often we've been taught so often, well, you have to wait till we get to the by and by. No, God is in us now. Eternal life is dwelling within us now. So what does that mean? We can live from the heavenly realms. And so it's just like so often, you know, we're so earthly minded that we forget this is where we dwell. We dwell in the heavenly places. So when I think about communion, I have to say, Lord, you know, sometimes we have to repent. Let me just say what repentance is a gift. Repentance is not, you sinner, you know, it's not a shaming thing. Repentance is the Lord wooing you into, once you think differently than you thought about something. Repenting is changing your mind about something. And so often we have come and we have thought not correctly. We either been taught incorrectly, believed a lie, and we have not known truth. But what does the word say? It says, the truth will set you free. So even as we take communion, I wish we could do it with joy. Sometimes we do it so very somberly, which is good because you remember the sacrifice. But what if we rejoiced in the sacrifice that God made and come with thankful and grateful hearts and start whooping it up like a party? Come on, you know, when they had communion, it was a party. They feasted first. That's why gathering is so important. Gathering is so important. And Susie gave me this little thing, gather, and you know, even, and maybe she could come explain it another time right now, but I, you know, just that how important a gathering is. We don't understand. It's encouraging that we're together. We're together, that we're a big circle, right? We're a community. And it's important to be in community. Why? Because, you know, that's what the enemy likes to isolate us. He likes to pull us apart. You know, I mean, you know, there was a group, I think it was the Amalekites in the Old Testament, were enemies of Israel. And what they like to do is, when people were lagging behind, they like to come behind and pick them off. And this is what the enemy likes to do. He likes to pick us off. And I just come against that in the name of Jesus, that we are a strong body of believers, that we believe in Jesus and the community that we have with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there is something when we come together. There's a corporate anointing. There's a strengthening. There's a peace and there's a joy. There's a corporate anointing of God's presence that we need. Sure, we can do communion by ourselves. That's good. I say do it. You know, do it every day and get before the Lord and do communion if you feel led. But in the scripture, it talks about coming together as a community to remember and then love on each other. How about that? Give a word of encouragement to one another as we just, you know, remember what he did, the price he paid, that he gave his body. It was broken for us. And you know, I was reading a scripture in Isaiah 53, and Maybe you're familiar with that. Maybe I should just read it. I know, I'm not even going on my notes today. But that's all right. It's in Isaiah 53. And what made me think about it was because in the Jewish culture or whatever, I mean, they don't read Isaiah 53. Do you know that? They don't believe that part, a portion of scripture. And the part that I wanted to read was this part, and this is out of the Passion Translation, is about the sin bearer, the servant, Jesus. Because, you know, Israel always wanted to have a king. And don't we kind of feel like that sometimes? Like we want someone to come in and, you know, let's have a president, or let's have somebody come in and just, you know, change things. But what happened if it wasn't going to come through the government? What if it's going to come through Jesus Christ reigning in the church, Jesus Christ, you know, using us as a legislative force in the earth and change and make a difference? Come on. We're ecclesia. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen? And so we need to understand this is our position. This is our position. We are aligned with Christ. We're not doing it on ourselves. God is with us. We were singing a song where we talked about Jesus is our commander. He's our commander. He's leading the way. He's our commander in chief. We are an army of God. We are not we're not weaklings. It says in the word, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Do you know that actually was a rally for the troops? When they would come together, Israel's army. When I'm weak, I am strong because of the Lord. And we've seen great things happen in Israel. How many times Israel should have been annihilated. But God was with them. God had covenant with them. And the thing is, we have covenant today. We are not lacking in any good thing. We have a covenant of healing. And I believe right now we're breaking off every lie in the name of Jesus. We are going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Come on. I'm believing for here miracles, signs, and wonders. It's time. It says signs will follow those who believe. We don't follow signs, but signs follow us. When we believe Christ fully and believe that he has power to save, and I mean save as sozo, healed, delivered. Children, the children of God, we have, that's our covenant right as a child of God to have healing. It says healing and deliverance, the scripture says, healing and deliverance are the children's bread. Think about that. That's our bread. That's our substance to be healed. And do I mean just one physical healing? No, I feel that's a continuous healing going on and bringing us into really who we are, who God created us to be. You know, he's totally always revealing what he wants us to see about ourselves. We are so hard on ourselves. How many of you have been there? Come on, I've been there, really hard on myself. Like, no, I'm not meeting up to what God's expectations. But it has nothing to do with that. It's us trusting in him. He will get us where we need to go and need to be as we put our trust in him. It's so important that we understand and get out of striving and get into freedom. Get out of religion and get into relationship with God. Because this is what he died for, relationship. And everything has to flow out of intimacy with God. Intimacy, what I mean by intimacy is into me you see. So it's like God sees me. God sees you, Barb. God sees you, Kelly. God sees you. He sees you intimately. He's not like surprised at anything we do. You know, he's not even disappointed. Sometimes we think we disappoint God. We don't disappoint God. He already knew that. He knew that. But still, you know what makes me know? Because in the scriptures it says in Romans 5, he says, while we were yet sinners, he died. So it's like, you know, I mean, if he was going to not, you know, if he wasn't going to forgive us, he wouldn't have gone that far. He knew, even in ahead, that we were still going to fall. But that didn't matter. He still died. He still resurrected. We're now co-crucified with Christ. Let me just get something straight, too, about crucifying ourselves. This is, oh boy, hold on. It's just like, I just feel that was such a lie from the church when we say we have to crucify ourselves. I'm sorry, that's religious. We bought into it. Come on, I did too. That we have to crucify ourselves when the word says we were co-crucified already with Christ. So sometimes that can be a religious work and a religious thing. It sounds very good, sounds very pious. But the fact is, God gets the better glory out of you when you are co-crucified and co-glorified and co-resurrected with Christ. You know what I mean? And it's just like, we are like we're trying to beat ourselves into submission or thinking that we're going to, you know, flog ourselves because for in all different kinds of ways, I'm not just calling physically, but, you know, when God says, you know what glorifies me is you understand who you are and who I am, and you stand up and you be who you are. You be who I created. That the intention of God, the blueprint of God for your life, the plan and destiny for your life, you live that out. That's what glorifies God. But instead, we've wrecked ourselves over the coals. And we've called that humility. I don't know why I'm going here, but God wants me to go here. It's just like, there's a false humility, you know, in that, that we think we have to do that. But humility is just knowing that I need God. Doesn't make me a worm. Doesn't make me I don't know. What else do you want to call it? I mean, degrade yourself somehow. That's not humility. But, you know, that's what religion has taught us. Come on, have you heard that? You know? It's like, I have to degrade myself because I'm nothing to God and da-da-da. No, you're not. God created you perfectly in his image. My gosh, when we get that perfectly created you, there's no one person or right, but you were all created uniquely in God. And he loves you. And he wants you to come into agreement to his plan and purpose for your life. So I just want to encourage you in that. My husband's like, what? I just have to say the Holy Spirit is doing something because I think religion has bogged us down so bad. And I just hate it. I just hate it because I see such potential in each one of you that God has something amazing for you, Brianna, that God has purpose and plan, and you, there is amazing things that God wants to do with you. You have leadership qualities in you. God wants to develop us into the full purposes of what he has. You know, there's things that we are limiting ourselves, but God says, put no limits on me because I want to do more than you can even imagine. Can we expect more and imagine more than our what we see? Of course, because we can be in the heavenly realm. We pray from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. We go up there. When we're talking about the mountain of ascent, going up why? To get a better perspective of what God says, what God wants. And God wants to rattle everything off of us that is causing us to agree with the enemy and not with God. He wants us to totally see who we are and who we were made to be. Amen? And we're not doing this, like I said, on our own. It's because the grace of God. Grace is the empowerment. You know, we always think grace is unmerited favor. That's how we get saved. That's very true. But also there's an element of grace, that grace abounds, grace that gives us strength, grace that gives us hope, grace that empowers us to be all God already sees that we are. And so often, God wants to change our perspective. And we need to understand, though, the principles of God's word. What does God say? We need to get our perspective from the principle and the Word of God, what God says. Because we've heard a lot of religious things. We've heard a lot of, you know, other things that's contrary to the Word. You know, even in our songs, you know, I used to lead worship, and Angie and Ken do an amazing job. Kudos to them. They are awesome. They are. They're tremendous. Got me weeping all the time. But anyway, it's really, you know, when we look even at the words of lyrics of songs, are they speaking truth to our spirit? Because what we say, we are actually speaking back to ourselves. And so if those words aren't correct, like we've had worship songs, right? When there's worship songs that, well, I'm just a worm. I don't know if I can do anything. And da-da. I mean, there has been terrible lyrics in some of our worship songs, and beautiful songs, but they're very incorrect. And it's just like, God, they're very sincere, but sincerely wrong. You know, and that's why we have to understand what God is saying. And what his word says, that God is for us. When he made a covenant, he doesn't break covenant. He's not a covenant-breaking God. So when we come to receive communion, let's do it with joy and thanksgiving and know that our God is for us, that we can rejoice, that no matter what we go through, he's given us power to plow through or go around or miraculous things happen. We don't know, but God is sovereign in how he does things. But we know we can trust him, that he will bring us a victory always, because we are overcomers in Christ. Amen? We are not hopeless in any way. We have the hope of glory right within us. Come on, sometimes you got to speak to yourself. Okay, hope, rise up in me. Let me see what you see, God. Let me get your perspective. Let me just grab hold of a scripture. Let me grab hold of a promise of God and just dwell upon that. Let me take that and war with that. Because we know the promises are power. There's power that will perform that promise. Attached to the promise. They're powerful. And so, I think we're going to just start. We're going to have communion. But I want us to think about this one thing about communion when we go. There's a song that I'm going to play, and it's a song, and it talks about you and me and you. And I want you to realize your oneness with God, that God made this covenant. You have something, Angie? Oh, an everlasting covenant. Come on up. Come on. I know she's always got something on. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. She brings out stuff in me. I can't. So, Galatians 2:20 in the Passion. My old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine, for the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me. It's not faith in the Son of God. It's faith of the Son of God. This takes everything away from you. This takes everything away. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing we have to do. It is the faith of the Son of God. And I'm sorry, I just want to read this in the Mirror Bible. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Sorry. So here I am, dead and alive at the same time. I'm dead to the old me I was trying to be, and alive to the real me, which is Christ in me. Co-crucified now, co-alive What a glorious entanglement. I was in him in his death. Now I discover that he is infused in me in my life. For the first time, I am free to be me in my skin, immersed in this faith in our joint sonship. He loves me and believes me and believes in me. He is God's gift to me. How can any human effort improve on this? It is an insult, verse 21. It is an insult to the grace of God to prefer Moses over Jesus. If the law could justify you, then Jesus wasted his time dying your death. We love Moses. Show me your face, Lord. But Christ in me, when I look in a mirror, I see Christ. I see his face every single day. Look at me. Look at me, I'm Jesus. Don't get offended by that. Don't get offended. That's right. Jesus, we are Christ. Christ in me. If we're one, if there is no separation and there's no divide, then we are him. He is us. Each one of us living life, living his life in this earth.
Sorry. Tag team. That's awesome.
I hate religion too.
She hates religion too. Amen. No, that's awesome. That was really confirming because I had that scripture too. I mean, so it's all good. It's awesome. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I think God's trying to say something here today. Is he trying to say something here today? I think he said, what's that? Yeah, right. So we're going to have communion in recognizing that. And then I just felt like this declaration that today, we're going to declare today that Jesus is my health and his divine life flows in my mortal body. He took the bread and broke it as representation of his body broken for us, for our wholeness, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And we take the cup representing that Jesus paid the death penalty, and now we are in right standing with God. We are accepted in him, and we declare that we are forgiven and made righteous. We have a new identity, and we are a new creation. We're not trying to beef up the old creation or beat down the old creation. We are trying to live in the new creation God said already. Amen.